Good afternoon, it's 5:06 and 32 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Rachel Turner.
Everything sounds good until you put it in the context of sources one-time dollars versus recurring dollars.
Kentucky lawmakers are back in Frankfort today, and they're expecting to focus on this year's budget.
A regional COVID vaccine facility opened up today in Lexington.
And new guidelines have been released for those receiving the shot.
A Moorhead company is now listed on the global select market.
A Louisville teen is hoping to implement safe haven boxes in the Commonwealth.
A regional food bank is asking for donations.
Two additional Kentuckians have been arrested in connection with last month's insurrection.
In sport, Moorhead State's rifle and cross-country teams are preparing for weekend competitions.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
We'll have a look at your region's extended forecast after this news.
Kentucky lawmakers work to lay the ground for a one-year, $12 billion budget in the opening days of the session. Now, they're set to return today to begin negotiations over what the ultimate budget will look like. In January, Governor Andy Beshear laid out his hopes for spending in 2021, a sweeping virus relief package with $220 million in small business aid, pay raises for state workers and school employees, and a plan to repay more than $250 million of the state's federal unemployment insurance loan. Whether any of those ideas gain traction remains to be seen as new and bigger Republican majorities take the reins in the legislature. Senate President Robert Stiver sounded skeptical in early comments on KET.
Everything sounds good until you put it in the context of sources one-time dollars versus recurring dollars, you know, our debt service, our structural imbalances, our obligations, and what's being said by the respective pension systems.
In the much more likely column are votes to overturn a handful of vetoes from Governor Beshear, most of which cover bills meant to hem in his executive emergency powers. Other matters that could also become hot topics in the weeks to come: an impeachment petition against the governor, a bid to rescue historical racing games, and criminal justice reform. The session runs through the end of March.
Kentucky's first regional COVID-19 vaccination site in partnership with Kroger opens its doors today in Lexington, but getting an appointment will likely require a healthy dose of patients. The Kentucky Horse Park Altec Arena vaccination location is expected to handle up to 3,000 doses a week, but project lead Jim Gray cautions residents that getting a spot will be a challenge early on.
Vaccine supply remains very tight at this point compared to the demand, of course, for the shots. And that's why appointments for today and the rest of this week at the horse park filled up very quickly.
Those who did get on the list for the first week should have received confirmation emails and will receive a follow-up email 24 hours ahead of the appointment. Right now, the state is concentrating on residents over 70 and scheduling spots for those in categories 1A and 1B. To find out if you are eligible and to receive notifications, go to vaccine.ky.gov.
As the Kentucky General Assembly's 2021 session resumes, it will be more convenient for Kentuckians to request to testify before a legislative committee. WMKY's Shamari Mosley has the story.
The Legislative Research Commission has unveiled a new online application to assist those who want to share feedback with lawmakers at committee meetings. The new online approach allows users to choose a bill from a list of those that have been assigned to the committees. Then users can fill in their contact information to have the request to testify automatically submitted to the correct committee. The online application can be viewed at apps.legislature.ky.gov. Making a request to testify doesn't guarantee that it can be accommodated. Committee chairs make decisions on testimony based on time allotted to the committee. For WMKY News, I'm Shamari Mosley.
New guidelines have been released for Phase 1C of the COVID vaccine in Kentucky. Smokers have been removed from the list from being able to receive the COVID vaccine with other individuals in the Phase 1C category. Stuart Spillman is with the Lake Cumberland District Health Department. He tells WYMT individuals 70 and older should receive the vaccine before smokers.
Well, we're talking about things like type 2 diabetes, heart disease, severe obesity. All that we're getting right now at Lake Cumberland District Health Department is the second doses for people that we previously vaccinated.
More information about vaccines distribution is available by calling the state hotline at 855-598-2246.
A Kentucky-based CBD company is growing business despite the pandemic. Hemp was outlawed until 2010 in the region. However, now Kentucky is known for being the comeback state for industrial hemp. Jim Hignon recognized the opportunity and opened his company, Cornbread Hemp. He tells LEX 18, while Kentucky soil is fertile for hemp product, there are still obstacles for companies like the lack of FDA regulations.
CBD is a cannabinoid that has become popular for lots of reasons, but because the FDA has not issued regulations on CBD, I, as a brand owner, aren't allowed to talk about any potential health or wellness benefits of CBD.
Hignon is hoping Kentucky lawmakers eventually vote to legalize medicinal marijuana as well.
App Harvest is now trading on NASDAQ under new ticker symbols. WMKY's Heather Fannin has the story.
App Harvest is qualified to list on the NASDAQ Global Select Market, which is the highest of three tiers based on certain financial, liquidity, and corporate governance requirements that the company met. This first trade marks an important milestone for App Harvest and for American agriculture, further advancing the company's mission of transforming agriculture by developing large-scale, sustainable food production in the heart of central Appalachia. The boards of directors of App Harvest and Novus Capital unanimously approved the transaction. The combined company will be led by Jonathan Webb, App Harvest's founder and chief executive officer. For WMKY News, I'm Heather Fannin.
Safe Haven baby boxes allow a parent to surrender their child safely and anonymously if they cannot take care of the newborn. Isabella Lampkin is a Louisville teenager advocating to bring Safe Haven baby boxes to Kentucky. The boxes are usually installed at fire or police stations or hospital. 911 is automatically notified, so first responders or hospital staff can be alerted that a baby has been surrendered. Lampkin started the petition to get the boxes in the state. She tells LEX 18 she was abandoned as a baby after being born in China.
I don't want other babies to have to go through or what I went through. And if I can help prevent it, then I'm going to try my 110% to do that.
At least four babies have been abandoned in Kentucky in the past 4 years. Parents in crisis can call the Safe Haven Baby Boxes National Hotline for guidance and support.
While the holidays are typically a busy time for food banks receiving donations, this year has been different due to the pandemic. The Amen House in Georgetown has been experiencing an increase in the number of people they serve and a decrease in donations. Michelle Carlisle is the executive director of Amen House. She tells WKYT they are running low on everything.
We would have a stockpile in a different warehouse from here that would cover us for probably the next 8 to 9 months. Right now, we have a reserve that will maybe carry us through the next month.
Even through the struggles of seeing less donations, Carlisle says if help is needed, the organization is still there to provide it. Monetary donations are accepted online at amenhouse.org.
The FBI has arrested two more Kentuckians in connection with the insurrection last month at the U.S. Capitol. The FBI in Louisville announced via Twitter that Dalton Crace and Troy Williams were taken into custody yesterday. The pair face charges of aiding and abetting, unlawful entry on restricted grounds, and violent entry or disorderly conduct on Capitol grounds. Both men were in federal custody and were expected to appear in court Monday. WKYT reports the FBI found out about the pair's presence at the Capitol from one of their friends. The witness told police he traveled to Washington, D.C. with the pair but became sick and didn't attend the rally and subsequent riot. Photos show both men inside the Capitol, and they admitted to police they were in the building. Seven Kentuckians have now been arrested and charged with failed insurrection.
A Lexington Council subcommittee has recommended the city to consider selling three buildings to generate cash. WMKY's Ben Hall has the story.
The three targeted properties include Arts Place, Morton House on North Limestone, and Old Fire Station No. 2 on East New Circle. The subcommittee, which included current and former city council members, recommended the city talk to LexArts, a nonprofit, about purchasing Arts Place. Subcommittee notes show that if the organization does not wish to purchase the property, it should be sold, but not before other options for tenants' house there are explored. The subcommittee also recommended talking to The Nest, a nonprofit that serves family and children, about purchasing Morton House. The committee believes federal grants could be used to help The Nest purchase the property. For WMKY News, I'm Ben Haw.
And finally this afternoon, a Mississippi man is in jail after spending hours running from Kentucky State Police. He was finally apprehended in Madison County after police say he robbed a gas station and a Kentucky home, stealing cash, a gun, and a car. WKYT reports that 33-year-old Carriereal Pratt of Leland, Mississippi, was arrested by KSP on Monday. The incident began after employees of the BP station at Exit 97 off Interstate 75 reported that they were robbed. Pratt was soon spotted driving the getaway car described by employees but refused to stop for police. He later crashed and ran into the woods. Pratt then entered a home on Lexington Road, stealing a gun, a car, and detaining the people who were inside, according to police. That car was spotted, and police again tried to stop Pratt, but he again took off, later getting out of the vehicle and running away. He was eventually spotted by a police helicopter in a field off I-75, arrested, and taken to the Madison County Detention Center.
Taking a look at the weather for the WMKY listening area, tonight, scattered flurries between 9 p.m. and 1 a.m., mostly cloudy with a low around 23. Wednesday, mostly cloudy through mid-morning with a high near 36. Wednesday night, mostly clear with a low around 19. Thursday, a 20% chance of rain after 3 p.m., mostly cloudy with a high near 45. Thursday night, rain before 5 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow, low around 29.
On our feature segment today, an award show for artists based in Appalachia will be hosted virtually next month. WMKY's Jonathan Burton has the story.
The Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards, or the Appies, will premiere on March 20th and will center around artists and entertainers from the Appalachian region. The program is a partnership between Big Sandy Community and Technical College and the Mountain Arts Center. Jill Hamlin is the Assistant Director of Fine Arts for BSCTC and the MAC. She says the Appies were created to represent the spirit of Appalachia.
It seems that Appalachia carries this very negative stigma. We want to showcase that we are educated, that we have stories, that we have this rich and delicious culture.
Votes cast are representative of the Appalachian people.
So for a first time and during a pandemic, we had over 15,000 votes. In a way, we were shocked, but in a way, we weren't. Because again, we as Appalachians are proud of our people. We are proud of what we do and what we bring.
The pandemic has changed the way the award show will be presented.
So what we're doing is we are actually in the process of filming the entire show. So people will be able to purchase a ticket, and you can do that. You can go to macarts.com, or you can call the Mountain Arts Center to purchase your ticket. You will then receive a link, and you can watch that from the comfort of your own home, just as if you were going to watch the Grammys on TV when those air.
Nominations came from all over the Appalachian region.
Some of the nominations even came from New York and Tennessee and from Georgia. I mean, it's the whole region, because Appalachia is 13 states, and a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of people think that Appalachia is just Kentucky, you know, and possibly like kind of in that tri-state area. But I mean, it's a home base for millions of people.
Hamlin says the award show provides much more for participants than recognition.
There's a lot more that goes into this award ceremony than just getting the accolade and getting the award that you can hold in your hand. But, you know, there's so many opportunities.
For tickets to the online event or to view a list of the top nominees in each category, visit Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards.com. For WMKY News, I'm Jonathan Burton.
The top five artists in each category were announced this afternoon and live-streamed on the Mountain Arts Center Facebook page. Some of the local nominees include brass and wind artists Tim Preston and Matt Moon, Moorhead State's own Jesse Wells for Best Strings, and the Little Theater's Octavia Biggs Fleck for Best Drama, Speech, and Acting Educator. High school bands in the region swept the top five, including Pike County Central, Floyd Central, Johnson Central, McGoffin County, and Rowan County. Rowan County's high school choir is also in the top five for their category. Local authors Bobby Kahn and Back Alley Tattoo Artist in Moorhead are in their top five categories. And finally, Moorhead's The Venue is in the top five for live music venues.
Support for MSPR comes from Main Street Medical Associates, 214 East Main Street in Moorhead. Main Street Medical Associates is now open to the Moorhead community, providing primary care and addiction services with counseling by board-certified and licensed providers. Same-day and next-day appointments for primary care, medical evaluations, occupational exams, physicals, and addiction services. In-office or telemedicine available by appointment by calling 606-784-8682. That's 784-8682. Main Street Medical Associates on Facebook and online at mainstreetmedical.live.
It's 32 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Moorhead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Rachel Turner and Wiley Tanner, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Lake and Hupp has a look at sports, but first, we want to tell you how much we appreciate you taking the time to join us on this chilly Tuesday afternoon.
Moorhead State's rifle and cross-country teams are preparing for weekend competition. For WNKY Sports, I'm Lakin Hupp. The Moorhead State Rifle Team is preparing to host the OVC Championship this weekend. As an indoor sport, the shooting range had to be partitioned in order to meet CDC guidelines for athletic events. Head coach Alan Joseph says MSU was limited in what they could do to prepare, but began planning before they started the season back in October.
Over the summer, we put in plywood partitions that just separates the athletes so that there's a barrier between each firing point. What also allows us to compete really without too much trouble is that the air in a shooting range is pulled away from the shooter. The range is ventilated.
The OVC Championship begins Saturday at 8 a.m. Results can be found at msueagles.com. The Moorhead State men's and women's cross-country team have not been able to compete in a meet since the 2019 NCAA Southeast Region Championships. Protocol has been very strict in order to help reduce the chance of spreading the coronavirus. Head coach Clay Dixon is excited to even have a season. As a new coach, there is a lot of behind-the-scenes work, especially to follow new regulations.
Well, I'm just excited to have an outdoor season, and I'm hopefully, knock on wood, didn't jinx us there. Random NCAA and OVC regulations we're having to, like, make sure we're doing. It's just a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff.
Coach Dixon believes that with a light winter season, there is nowhere to go but up from here and for the rest of the season. In high school, regional boys basketball action tonight. Boyd County hosts Russell, Bath County travels to Fairview, and Johnson Central hosts Perry County Central. Tip-off in all three of those games is set for 7:30 p.m. In regional girls basketball action tonight, Ashland Blazer travels to Rose Hill Christian at 7 p.m., and Morgan County hosts West Carter at 7:30. The Rowan County Senior High School girls basketball team is getting back to the gym today. Today's work begins the period of self-examination coach Matt Stokes says would be necessary for moving forward. The team has had a rough go of it in the early season, largely due to a majority of their games being canceled so far due to the pandemic. Stokes says the situation can be irritating, but the team is doing what they can.
It's been a tough year for our group especially. You know, only getting three games this far in the season. You look at other teams and they're playing eight or nine games. So our girls have been frustrated. You know, the coaches have been frustrated. But, you know, it's nothing that we can control. We just get the girls in there and try to put them in the best situation that we can for where we're at right now.
Next up for the Vikings is a road contest scheduled for Thursday in Morgan County. Tip-off against the Cougars is set for 7:30. The Rowan County Senior High School boys basketball team is missing a couple of games due to the pandemic this week. WMKY's Tanner Boyd reports.
The Vikings game against East Carter set for Thursday had already been canceled, but now tonight's game against Ashland Blazer has been called off as well. Still, for now, Rowan is looking at one contest this weekend with a road matchup against Morgan County. The Rowan boys have fared better than some with their schedule so far this season, but not by much. They've managed to get in six games so far and sit on a 5-1 record. Morgan County's team has had worse luck, though, having played only four games so far with a 3-1 record. Both teams will be tested this Saturday when they face off in West Liberty at 7:30. For WMKY Sports, I'm Tanner Boyd.
And that's going to do it for sports this afternoon. For WMKY, I'm Lakin Hupp.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Moorhead Community Recycling Center. Maintaining a safe operation, CDC recommended health and safety guidelines are followed. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership with the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. Located near the Moorhead City Park with a 24-hour drop-off service, curbside service, and more information at 784-1250. Facebook and online at moorheadrecycling.org.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks jumped on Tuesday, building on a strong rally in the previous session as concerns about a speculative retail trading frenzy continued to ease, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 475.57 at 30,687.48. The S&P 500 was up 52.45 at 3826.31, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 209.38 at 13,612.78. In the NASDAQ, Amazon particularly strong today. And, of course, Amazon will report earnings after the close today. And it's widely expected that Amazon will actually breach the $100 billion revenue mark this last quarter for the first time in its history. And, of course, the stocks that have been in the limelight as of late, such as GameStop and AMC, continue to ease back today, with GameStop down over 40% and AMC down a similar amount. And the decline in the trading frenzy of these types of social media names certainly helping to stabilize the markets in today's action. Oil was up $1.29, finishing at $54.84 a barrel. Gold was down $27.70 at $1,833.10 an ounce. And turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up $2.59 at $89.64. App Harvest up 92 cents at $36.77. Marathon Petroleum up $1.67 at $45.12. Walmart up $1.52 at $140.79. And Fifth Third Bank was up 83 cents, finishing at $30.32. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Greg Jenkins, Paul Hitchcock, Megan Jones, Heather Fannin, Daria Denisenko, Carrie Stambaugh, Shamari Mosley, Sarah Mead, and Wiley Tanner. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Jonathan Burton. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Rachel Turner and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.